the graveside of Lazarus, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, remember this fact of man's death, and eventually everybody's death, except one or two that God ordained, such as we know Enoch and Elijah. And also at the end time, there'll be a few who will not die. They will not see death. But as ever since God said to Adam and Eve, you came from dust, to dust you will return, that is exactly what has been happening. Now, Brother Branham mentioned that God was going to bring about a resurrection. God would create again and bring forth these bodies, not by sex, but by natural creative acts of all of that which had maybe perhaps gone back to literal gases for all we know, and that body would come forth. So what I'm saying is this, that every baby that is dedicated, every child that is born, and he has to be born, before there is a dedication, that child has to come forth literally from the earth, because we are all earth. From dust we came, to dust we return. As many people in the committal say, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. So it is that we as vessels are vessels of clay, vessels of earth, and vessels of dust. And we have a sense of immortality on the ground set from Adam, and I wish it were all Adam and Eve instead of the serpent having gotten in there. Adam would have achieved the sense of immortality in the sense that he would have been moving down the line on and on for the 6,000 years, how many generations, I don't know. But at the age of 20, if we took it, that average would be 300 generations. However, the thought is this, that here is a sister, dust, earth, bringing forth a child, typing the resurrection. And as this little child is dedicated, the little Joshua Peter Gatchel, we want you to know that we are literally looking forward to the resurrection, which will bring forth all the rest out of the dust that are supposed to be here. Just the same as this little living child, though mortal, and though subject to ills and to problems, is a type, literally, of the righteous coming forth. And especially at this end time. So every birth should be an understanding of this glorious resurrection which is about to take place. And so we literally celebrate it in every single dedication. So at this time, the congregation met rise with me at this time. Mother and father and little children, come along to get the picture of grandma and grandpa. I wish we all grandmas and grandpas here together. I think there's four living, but we just have two with us. You can just come right along here in case we get the camera. And that's good. And you can come along here and get your pictures in here. That's good, and I just come on down here and watch myself. I don't pull myself like a chunk with this thing here. How about that? I think I've come far enough. Hey, let's just take the little wee baby, little Joshua Peter. Here he is, look at the beautiful little baby. Let's go and get him there. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege receiving this sweet little child, Joshua Peter Gansham, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From his parents, Lord, to be to you, to dedicate him most thoroughly and honestly, as a type of the longing of our heart and the last enemy death to put out of the way. Now we should be not as this little baby here, will be grown in dust, and a flesh even finer and more wonderful of which this little baby coming out of the earth, a life, because of the soul, signifies to us this morning that wonderful first resurrection about to take place. In the light of this word, may these two parents so guide their family and this little one, because they know the time is not far off. As Brother Branham said, 25 years, it's already gone by. Who knows, but tomorrow could be their great and blessed day. So we dedicate him to the family for me, to your way, to your service, to be all living, loving and pleasing, Lord, to serve others, thereby serving you, above others, thereby loving you, be part of the community and family of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not one missing in that great day, nor should there be. We give them to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Keep him, Lord, we pray, and in true hearing, away from sickness, away from disease, away from those things, Lord, which you have been trying, that you should give him over, so that he might be justly chosen of old. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'll give him back to you for the family, and give him an honor, and then I got this here. The Lord bless you. Take good care. God bless you.
The Lord Jesus Christ would qualify by what he is doing, if you put it on the devil, that would be a division of the of God's kingdom. But remember, it is a man coming, thus saith the Lord, with the word of God. And that makes all the difference. For every single time it was thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, such and such would follow. Now then, if God ever gave the devil that power, the kingdom of God is divided because now the devil has the word. And then what have you got? If he's got that word, then where are you going to stop? Creative power, all those things lie in it. So, I want to make it abundantly clear to you and those on the tape what I was really saying so that you might understand the truth of what I'm saying, that a William Branham is of the devil. Where's the kingdom of God? Then have the people who said he's of the devil not committed blasphemy against the Holy Ghost and blasphemed God? Amen. Have they not set the kingdom of God at naught in everything that God did? Are they not back there in the same day when God brought on a mini tribulation and piled upon Israel all the sins of all the generations? Shall he then not do today? Anybody who thinks otherwise has certainly missed the truth. Brother, sister, let's stand with the word of God as given by a vindicated prophet. You might not understand it all. You don't have to. You might not know it all. You don't have to. But stand with that understanding. Then you will increase in a knowledge. Remember, Jesus was born a little baby. And it says that he increased in wisdom and knowledge. He increased in stature and favor with God and man. Right? Then we understand these things. We'll stay with them. The Lord bless you. Pray for your grace and your mercy, which we know we already have because you sent your power back in the church, not because of us, our faith, or our works, anything else, but because of grace. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for truth, which you have given us, and pray it might be with the inner man to bring forth that peace the prophet spoke of. Help us to know the truth this morning from his own standpoint as he tries to show us. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we are in number 23, I believe, in Shalom. And as we have said many times, Shalom, or as Brother Branham said, God's peace, is a New Year's message that deals not with one year giving away to another year, such as flipping the calendar, but actually speaks of a new era when the Prince of Peace shall reign in the millennium and then eternally in the New Jerusalem, which is a part of, actually, the major and great part of the new heavens and the new earth. Now today, as one era gives way to another era, there's an interim space of time declared in Revelation 10:1-7, where the mighty God comes down and through the prophet opens the seals, that is, reveals the open seals, declares the thunders, and time and eternity merge with the last mysteries of the gospel being revealed to the catching away. So this interim period spoken of beginning in Revelation 10:1-7 in our hour goes all the way over to Revelation 22:10-15, where it mentions Revelation 10:7 bringing forth the entire mystery, which means the sealed book would be opened. Says in 22:10, he said, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." So between Revelation 10:4, I suppose it is, and Revelation 22:10, the book is open and cannot be sealed. So the thunders have been declared, and everything that is necessary to put us in the rapture has been given us. Now notice at that time, the division of the light from the darkness, the just from the unjust. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that's holy, let him be holy still. Now I'll ask you a question, and don't answer all at once. And that is, what made the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous? The opening of the seals. The book that was closed, now open. The opening of the seals and seven thunders made the difference. That's why Brother Branham could say in Luke 24, it was a separation by the word. For where the eagles are gathered, there is either the soma or the toma. For they both must be gathered. And behold, I come quickly. Now the coming quickly is after Revelation 10:1, which is Revelation 5:1 who came down. Because Revelation 22:10 follows Revelation 10:7. Is the result of it. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. What I did formerly, I do now. In exactly the same manner. Now watch. Blessed are they not who do their commandments. Where in the world that translator got that is more than I know, because it stinks. It's not in the original. It's not the Greek at all. They washed their robes. Oh, you might get by with saying who do his commandments if it's strictly upon a matter of faith. Like, this is the works of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. If you want hard, slugging work, that's it. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, walk to immortality. The very thing that stopped Adam will now be taken care of by God, so that Adam can be immortal. And they may enter into the gates, through the gates into the city. So the gates will be the gates of light. Lift up your head, ye gates, ye everlasting doors. The people now are life themselves in their immortality. And they go into the holy city via the millennium, but without our dogs. That's male prostitutes. They type the preachers. Vulgarly expressed by Lee Dale as pimps. Because they procure customers for whores. Which is organization and the organized churches. I don't like me lose my head for that, but they're still pimps and whores. If I should rescind that because I'm afraid like Galileo, I still mutter under my breath, they are still pimps and whores. I don't think I will. I have nothing to lose, everything to gain. Whoremongers, sorcerers, poisoners, murderers, idolaters, whose their love of them maketh a lie. Homosexuality is rampant, with the result of AIDS, where men rot on their feet, because it is the type in the raw of the spiritual grossness. So if you're looking for something less, you still haven't heard me and Brother Branham preach enough. You'll notice that light and darkness are separated, but coexistent in this interim period before your change. This is the time of Luke 17 and 20, the kingdom of God in our midst, and we are unaware of it. The days of the Son of Man returning to earth. Also, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Said they in Matthew 24, 3-5. The sign of your presence. And the major one is false prophets. The false prophets will be those who give enough of the signs and wonders of God to impress the people. They don't need the original one who foreran this great healing revival, William Branham, and then designate him as a kook. I forgot to bring that little excerpt by these lovely oneness Pentecostals out of St. Louis. Watch it, Peter, you're from there. They call it revival time. They're the ones who would try to tell you that if you are shot with prenatal cells of an animal, it'll go to your heart and ruin you, or go to your brain and destroy you. I've had about 16 shots already. I'm in better shape than ever, and my brain is keener than theirs. Because at least I can read and not be stupid about what I read. The fact that you are part animal, to the extent you're literally part beast in your flesh from the garden, shouldn't defend you, because from your lives you know you are manure heaps, and from your thoughts you are reprobates. And except for the grace of God, you're worse than a reprobate in a manure heap. You'd fall right in league with the devil and rejoice if he had full control, if you thought you'd have a good time with him. Now let's be honest. Let's not be super duper wonderful so-called spiritual Christians, because that brand each is a phony and a fraud. In fact, the sheep can be just as rotten and lustful and rottener even than a bird out there. Now they've got some supercilious idea that they're right and they're wrong. Because I can tell you right now, they have used embryonic cells for years and they have done miracles with them. But the trouble is they're too cheap and too many doctors wouldn't have a living. That's right. We're in this gross darkness and grow in beautiful light. Now it's in this hour of gross darkness and God's light that God by his messenger declares peace to us. What peace would United Pentecost have if I send them my books on cellular therapy and challenge the preacher? I write him a check that won't bounce, at least for $10,000 cash. If he can prove, and I'll pay all his expenses, to come with me to a clinic where they do it all the time, where they're giving 100 shots per day, and the people walk in so depleted, dying of cancer and other diseases, within 2 weeks they start looking like new people. Ask Audrey Guy what happened to her. Incurable Crohn's disease clears up overnight. So much for Pentecostals. They've always prided themselves on being rugged countrymen. I can't believe farmers and ranchers are stupid and flout their ignorance as though it was intelligence. The certainty of the kingdom is proven by the presence of the day star, he amongst us, vindicating his own word. Paragraph 163, Brother Branham makes it known to us that the one present is holding the future of the kingdom of peace and righteousness in his hand and will bring it to pass in his own sovereign will that encompasses both how and when he will do it. Now remember, this promise is guaranteed and based upon the vindication that Brother Branham now has, and the vindication he showed us will prove the kingdom will come. But along with it is the guarantee of gross darkness and confusion. That gross darkness and confusion has invaded the ranks of those who say they believe this message. They still cannot believe all seven seals are open because they don't understand the parts of the third pole. They don't understand under the seventh seal is the literal coming physically when we meet him in the air. But they refuse to believe that the seventh seal is Revelation 10:1-7, which is here and now, which has been fulfilled. Nobody knows the hour of the second coming, and we don't need to know. For if the good man of the house had known the hour of which the thief was coming, he would have been prepared. We know this fact, that we're ready for the hour, whatever it is, when he comes to steal us away. Certainly we know what to worry about. Now remember, this promise is guaranteed by vindication that it will come. Thus we are admonished. Now listen, because of this hour of distress, we are admonished to know and understand that God holds the unexpired time of this interim period securely in his hands. And thus, as the prophet committed himself and his life and service to God, so must we until our change. Now, that doesn't mean a tremendous act of consecration and commitment, which is going to bring forth any great ministry or going to make you do anything great. It's once more the greatest battle ever fought and perfect faith combined. Where you say, I'm resting on that. The principle of vindication. In plain language, as I spoke in Beaumont at Easter, for two whole messages, the theme was vindication. Vindication alone is our one strength to survive this interim period, because vindication means presence, and we believe he is here to lead us into the millennium. How can God do anything for those who don't believe? Now go back in your minds. Brother Branham took us back continually. Alpha is Omega. Alpha is Omega. What they did back there, and he did back there in the days of his flesh, and how they withstood him, it's exactly the same today. There is no difference. See? What sustained those people? The fact that they saw. Now consider this. As it was when he was here in flesh, it is now so, since he has descended by spirit. He will not be recognized. He will be denied. Peter says so. He will be put to naught. In other words, nothing comes out of his ministry except for a few people who get it. And he says the same thing to the people, in vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the commandments of men. He said it doesn't do you a bit of good because you haven't listened to the truth. Listen, coming to church this morning, I can safely say we are the only church. Now you can do what you want. Say, Brother Bay, you're ignorant and proud. Then I'm ignorant and proud. What are you? Why are you sitting here listening? We are the only church within miles who come even near worshiping in spirit and in truth. Because anybody can worship in spirit. Anybody can. But can you worship in truth? For God is seeking such. It doesn't say they're seeking God. It says God is seeking such. That's the difference. Amen. Thus, the vindication which is our strength and the word of truth will be scorned, and we with it. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. Now, knowing this, Brother Branham interjects himself as an example of this perilous time and says categorically, if he comes at this time, amen. If not, I'll just keep working for him. What was his work? My ministry is to declare that he is here. How many caught it? He pointed to reality. Well, he's always been here. A lot of people call themselves Branhamites. They're still that far back in the woods. He said, if he comes at this time, amen. If not, I'll just keep working for him. I've seen his vindicated word, so I'm at peace. Because since he proved Revelation 10:1-7, and I'm a part of it, make no mistake, he will bring about the millennium and all else he has promised. That's the gate. Then he poses a question as from us. To teach us how he does this. Brother Branham, how do you get that peace and that assurance? How do we get where you are in this respect and gain the understanding you speak of? How can we be in that position? What is there to do? Is there a process? Is there some attitude? Is there something we go through or partake of? He then answers his own question by a lengthy illustration of a symphony wherein God and he and we are all a part as composer, conductor, narrator, and participating audience. He describes the symphony as a musical drama wherein the actors and their roles are depicted or played out by various melodies coming forth from musical instruments. The flutter of the wings of a bird, the emotions of the character, roar of the cannon, so on and so on. But unless one can follow the symphony as to its dramatic contents, it is merely sounds, good, bad, or indifferent. Now the composer is God, who works the drama particular to his own character. That's a shock. Because most people think God is a lovely, benevolent God who let things get out of hand, but still being a wonderful God, he takes measures thereby to bring us all back in some particular way they don't understand. Let me tell you, I believe with Brother Branham, and I'm lying, but I like my lie, because I'm going to get that way. And he said God knew how many fleas there would be that could make a pound of tallow, and how many times they'd bat their eye. Balls. If you don't believe that, and I don't believe, there's something wrong with their believing. This which God is doing comes out of God himself. And this is particularly God as to his character. As Brother Branham so beautifully put, if it weren't for the bad women, you wouldn't know what a good woman was. And as the Bible teaches, God dwelleth in darkness, and darkness shines, and light shines out of darkness. In other words, a great impenetrable mist concerning God himself, no man can fathom until God comes out to bring it to the darkness that lies out there. Two types of darkness. One that surrounds God, which is a great mystery. That there's no hope for revelation and God shines forth. And there's a darkness out here. Light and darkness. Now, the composer is God who wrote the drama particularly to his own character. The conductor is one who must catch the spirit of the composer and enter into it. Now, I prefer that to be the Spirit of God coming down, God doing his part now, as conducting. God conducting his own drama. And, of course, the prophet has a part in it. But I prefer to call the prophet the narrator. Because you can't get beyond Jesus who said, I only say what my Father says. I can only tell what I see him do. I can only do what he does. And actually, I'm not doing it. It is God in me. William Branham can't assume a role above that. So I prefer to call him the narrator. To let us know what God is doing. What he is doing with it. What it is all about in telling us. And if we are symphony-oriented, not as Brother Branham says, some man coming in, sitting down, and it's just a bunch of noise. But we're part of the participating audience because it knows it, we are literally in it. Then we will catch it. The narrator is the prophet, who certainly must be aware of the composer in his mind and be in touch with the conductor as he leads the orchestration and manifestation of the drama. Thus, Brother Branham, prophet of God, tells us about his place in this dramatic composition of God and relates it to us and directs us to the theme and our understanding of it and our part in it. To accept this based on vindication will bring God's peace. In other words, we are looking to be placed with Brother Branham. We are looking to have what he is supposed to have brought us. Now the point is, did he bring it? Ah, there's the catch, just like those who don't believe the seventh seal is open. They are looking at something here which is entirely passive, as though they look at it and say, well, some great day, he'll come back and he'll do this or he'll do that, this other thing and the other thing. They don't understand that Brother Branham is telling us, come into it, come into it, come into it. Join in the dance. Join in the music. Join in the song. Join in the party. Become a part of it. You weren't called here by accident. Now remember, when the great invitation goes out, there'll be those sitting there without a garment. They will not have the robe of the Word. Brother Branham said they're sitting amongst us now. So we believe it. Come into it. Now, as we read, remember, it is the juncture between two eras we are talking about. We are not talking back now. The drama has been presented. We are not looking future. That is what the drama opens up. We are looking at the hour in which we enter into the drama. And though the narrator has gone, the composer and conductor are still here. If we abide by the narration or the words of the narrator, there's nothing wrong because the pillar of fire is here. Let us enter into the symphony with rapt attention and enter into the rapture of this blending together hour. Now, enter into the rapture, the joys, the participation, the emotional output from the input, the life based upon what he gave us, this blending together hour, getting ready for the great immortal eternity. This is not simply an understanding of Revelation 10 and 7 of the prophet in time mingling, but it is in fact what I read to you previously in John chapter 17, and we'll read it some more. And we might as well read from verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now Jesus was speaking something for an interim period. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now why did the world hate them? Because they believed this renegade Jesus. They believed this poor little carpenter dumbbell. They couldn't stand it. Because without any background, as far as they knew, he could outproduce them. Oh, yeah. He had bigger and better fruit. He could raise the dead. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. No time for the rapture. But thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Evil one. They are not of the world. Even as I'm not of the world. Same thing right there. We are no more of the world than that pillar of fire is. Now what does he say? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thus saith the Lord. William Branham brought us, thus saith the Lord, by vindication never failing. This is what sanctifies us. This is the truth. This is what sets us apart. The just from the unjust, the holy from the unholy, the righteous from the unrighteous. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them in the world. How? With one main ingredient, word. Now, just a minute. You had a chance to let peace strike your heart like the fluttering of the wings of angels. And the pillar of fire hovering every heart, what I just said there. And I'm not discerning. I'm just telling you flat because I know what I'm talking about. Because there he stood. And his prayer was, I have sent them into the world the same as I was sent. There is no difference. The word made the difference. Remember when Jesus answered Satan? Satan said, now how about some miracles? He said, no, how about some word? How about some word, then some miracles? Now, Brother Branham had to come on the scene and reverse that for a while. But remember, what Brother Branham did was still word first, then vindication next, because he couldn't be vindicated unless the Bible said, when God raised up a prophet and vindicated him, then you listen. Then from that came other miracles, as we understand it. Now, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now notice this. The sanctification of Jesus Christ is no more complete than our sanctification. That's why Paul could say we have become the righteousness of God by him indwelling us. Did you hear what I said? I said here, and this is the truth, he was no more sanctified than we. You say, well, he lived a more sanctified life. That hasn't got a thing to do with it. It's not what he did, it's what he's talking about, what God did. The position that God placed us in. See? Tell me, is the seed of God the seed of God? Can there be evil in it? Can there be darkness? The seed is the seed. Never mind the vessel. Just get to the seed. See, the blood takes care of your body. Now, Neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now notice it comes to you and me. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now that's down the road the world's going to believe that. The world never could believe, or he's cutting his own throat. You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. You've heard of the guy that could eat watermelon in the middle of his mouth and spit seeds out of both sides. That's okay. Not with the Bible. Watermelon's fine, but not Bible. Christ is not spitting seeds out of both sides of his mouth. Because he said they hate me and they hate you. If you don't believe me, they don't blame you. Believe you. Now he turns right around here and he says, when is it that they are going to believe? Is as John the Revelator said, Jesus speaking to the scribe John, I'm going to make them bow at your feet and know that I've loved you. Now, it's been progressing right down to this hour. He's speaking now in terms of this interim period. And like Brother Branham speaking of the judge, took us to the white throne. So Jesus takes us right to the white throne. Or read it. There's nobody going to believe that we're one. They're telling us we're one with the devil. The Pentecostals are the major ones. Now the Baptists have joined the song and dance. Next come the Methodists, the Presbyterians. And finally the Catholics will catch up. Lutherans will take a crack before the Catholics or any Anglicans get around. But they're the ones that'll do it. See? And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them that they may be one even as we are one. It's already there. Not something he's going to give, it's there. I in them and thou in me, they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. He's looking down the road again. Father, I will be, they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's down the road. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's down the road. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. Now this is different. But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. It holds right there, right down. Just think, he said, we've been given the gift of the Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. Conducting. Well, the great narrator tells us. And I have declared unto them thy name, Matthew 12, and will declare it. Matthew 12 says so, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. And remember, under the seventh church age, all you've got is brotherly kindness. But it says love. And where does that love come from? Right out of the Word. Right out of the Word. Can't come any other way. No other way. Now, before we go back and rapidly read what we've already read and try to rapidly read forward because we want to catch the spirit of the symphony in this interim period, how to move in with the prophet, what the guidelines are, what the drama is, we want to go to page 37. If you got any notes there. And I'm going to read paragraph 237. So for the new year, be determined to stay with His Word. And what it's promised, like others elected did in the other days. If you feel that you've seen the light that's broke through upon you of Jesus Christ, His manifestation of His great Spirit in these last days. And remember, stay with it. What He did, you are one of the elected. And what He, the elected in other days like Abraham, when he sought, when it was all against scientific proof, Noah sought, it was against scientific proof. Moses sought against all scientific proof. Those smart ages had gone by, but the elected sought. Stay firm, amen. So what you're going to learn here in the symphony is what I've read in these six pages of notes. And I won't finish this morning unless you want to sit here about 2.5 hours. Which I'll wear myself to the nub if you want. Cancel Wednesday if we have to. I'm going to start reading. Now this in mind. Now you little children, you'll understand. Page 27, 167. In school, I believe it's what you have, the Russian symphony. They acted out with drums, you know what's called, little woodpecker and so on, fluttering in the woods, beating of drums and things. And you hear it all as though as you go through the symphony as they play it. I forget the name. Peter and the Wolf. That's right. Peter and the Wolf. That's a Russian symphony. See, they don't have little figures flying around to play it out, but they play it on drums. And then they make drums and other sounds and things. It plays it out. It acts it. So you understand what Brother Brand was trying to say. Now, do you adults, the scripture is God's symphony. In other words, it's the score of the composer. So this is the score of the Bible. Yes, hallelujah. Only the composer knows what it really means, and he reveals it to those who are listening, who are interested in knowing what the drama is. But you'd have to know about a symphony first. He calls it sympathy, but a symphony first. It's not just something, but you got to be sympathetic too, if that's the truth. It's not just something you see, it's the changing, the junctions of the word of the music. It throws. Sometimes, in other words, it goes this way, that way. Sometimes going this way for a while, a certain beat, after a while it changes around. What is it? To you wouldn't understand it, or don't know anything about it, not interested in it, it's just a racket, it's a fuss. But to those who know it, they're watching for it, they know it's coming, hallelujah. In other words, they've got enough of an understanding of the drama, of the revelation, what's in the word, to catch it. And if you got a wrong revelation, and you won't sit still to get it corrected, you'll go right the way you're going, like the Pharisees, like the appearance. The appearance is always to everybody but us, the rapture, the catching up. To us, the appearance is right there. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, and you're still fundamentalist, and you believe anything opposite to that, I'm going to tell you, it could be too late for you. Because you sat here for years. The present is the appearing. Bringing on the last Exodus. They know it's coming. Hallelujah. So we have these times of symphonies, of the symphony of God's word, that the whole drama changes. In other words, they've changed the time element. It's got a different beat because the story has progressed. It's a juncture. You're interested. Listen for that change. You know it's getting close. You hear the way the drums are beating. Amen. Want something to happen. You know that this is a change. See? It's going to break out, burst in a few minutes. See? And you're watching it, for you can tell the way the drums are timing. The beat is accelerating, getting harder. Much more pounding. See? Awareness. Oh God, if you can hear the drums of the finish now, if you can hear the echo of the music of the heavenly word singing itself out, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, what? I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters prophesy, and upon my men servants, upon my women servants. The same Holy Spirit with two different results. One will be taken from the great tribulation, one will go into it. Now he's telling you, he's fulfilling, he's letting you know, that hour is being fulfilled of light and darkness. You are light, who have the Holy Ghost because you've got a seed. And you that simply have an anointing on you. And you're looking for some big thing other than the prophet. Let me tell you something, you're darkness. You're sitting right here as a dark person. I'm not going to pick anybody out. You know your hearts. You know if you come to the place, you say, well, if this isn't it, who cares? Might as well go to the Ayatollah and sit in his white horse. We've wasted our lives. Because these guys out here got nothing. I mean, they don't have anything in the light of Scripture. I hope you understand, brother, sister, I'm talking about. You'll never convince them, but you'd better be convinced. The sympathy of God, the symphony of God's great drama that he's playing, it changes him. Well, he's got roles. He's not the lamb anymore. You don't even talk of him anymore as just a simply Holy Spirit. You talk of him as judge. Now, you tell me, people in this message, you understand that even. Young brother came here a while ago. I won't mention his name. I gave him a bunch of tapes. When I got home, I laughed my head off. I said, isn't that crazy? I gave him a whole flock of tapes. I'm sure when he went home and he thought of the tapes, he thought I wanted him to hear them all. But what I really wanted to do is pick out the titles he liked. So he picked out the judge and he said, open a whole bunch of new doors to him. His young man got his head screwed on right. He's a good brother. We may get to hear from him one of these days. It changes him, the roles. His symphony at the junctions. The composer and those that are interested, listen for the change. If you can't listen for a change and find the change, you are lost in the woods. He won't know if you're in the middle, at the first, or the end. So there's certain things in this great composition by the composer that we can know about. Jesus said so. He said, what's the matter with you? You look at the sky at night, say, lovely red sky, beautiful day tomorrow. You look at the sun in the morning, it's a great big red sky. He said, forget it, we're not going out to fish. Now, if you can discern the signs of nature, how come you can't tell something's going on now? Pentecostals. Let's understand Pentecost. And they're all dead. Florence Shakarian was dying of cancer. Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow morning at 2 o'clock she'll be dead. After the meeting progressed, as women and men in Pentecost, all was got out, God, God, out prophet the prophet. They got to take things in their own hands. Got so full of zeal, screaming, thus saith the Lord, my little children, I will not let her die, but she shall live. Billy Paul even wondered what's going on. I wouldn't. I'm so sick of their hogwash tripe. What about it, Daddy? What'd the prophet do? All I know is he said 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. She was dead at 2 o'clock. That one sign will bring the white throne on the Pentecostals. You say what you want, brother, sister. Oh, but my God is so great, is he? Like a flea hopping on a griddle? Like some two-bit character that doesn't have his resplendent glory and always had it, has got to make a show. As a judge, he does it once and you listen. She died. Brother Branham took a message to Demas Shakarian. Billy Paul tells me. Tears rolled down Demas' face because he's enamored with Dr. Charles Price, who is now dead and was no prophet. Shuffled his shoes in the sand and walked on. I'm not condemning the man. If he wasn't part of the symphony, how are you going to make him part? I don't know what he is. Holy's virgin, I don't know what he is. That's up to God. But I'm telling you people here for your good. Yeah, and I'm a first-hand witness of those things that were done, so you are under obligation, just as though you were there, because I'm not lying to you. Want to make a stress test of my voice? I'll pay for the smartest man with the most sophisticated instruments to come in here and listen to me preach. To measure my voice. I'm not worried. How should I be worried? There's no point. His symphony changes at the junctures. The junctions. The composer and those who are interested listen for the change. In other words, he's saying God watches over his own musical score, his own drama, so that nothing gets by him. That's what all this stuff is about. Well, that's what all this revelation's about. We're listening. We're watching. Every time he appears, now that's the main appearing, but now he's talking concerning people with something definite in mind for the bride, the body, though it concerns a specific individual in that bride and not somebody else. Because it's to everybody as to what it's exhorting us toward. Every time he appears, something happens. That's in the audience, amongst the people. Every time at a juncture, something happens. Did he appear? Right there. The fact that he appeared there is proven by the way he deals with the audience saying, he's here. Do you think Pentecostals believe that? Only in their own way, like all the rest of the fundamentalists, because you see, they're wrong what they believe. We see the time getting close. We see back yonder not long ago when that church age, the church ages were being drawn out, we were listening. We saw it was right with the Word, beating with the Word. After a while, what happened? There he came himself and vindicated. Brother Branham said, I took a step of faith. I was with the Word. I drew the pictures on a board for you. What happened? The Holy Ghost came right behind, doing the very same thing. We hear the Word say that in the days of the seventh messenger in the church age. He just said the seventh angel's message would be the last message. Then, oh, we find out here in Revelation 10, in the days of the message, seven angels, the mysteries of God should be finished. The seventh seal would be pulled back. He said the seventh seal would be pulled back. It didn't say seven, it said the seventh. Let me pull back. It should be there. Then all at once, what's happening? A vision broken. Said, go to Tucson. A great noise would take place at that time. So you thoroughly understand and know that it's sin. It'll just shake the earth nearly. All of you know about it. It's on tape months before it happened. Then it happened and appeared in the skies. Shalom. Are you with the symphony? If you're with the symphony, you're hearing the narration of the symphony. It appeared in the skies. Shalom. There it is right there. Revelation 10 and 1. What is it? It's a changing beats, the symphony. In other words, you have now reached a period where he that is here must do what he sent to do. Or forget it. Well, says God, I'm going down to see Abraham. I like Abraham. He's a nice old boy. He's walked with me through thick and through thin, you know, and I know he got messed up with it, that Hagar bit and all that, but I love Abraham. I think I'll go on down there and look the situation over. So Abraham goes, so he goes down to Abraham, and Abraham kills the fatted calf, and Sarah and he dress it, and they feed God. And well, he said, I think now maybe I've been down here. I really won't do what I was going to do. I'll just go and sleep and I'll go on back. Now he said, maybe I'll come down later. Do you read your Bibles that way? Then why read it this way today? See what Brother Brandon's trying to tell you? If you're in the symphony, you're not stupid to believe that Act 1 is going on now when you're at Act 3. And you won't be so foolish as to believe that if there's a score and a drama, that the conductor will fool around with Act 2, jump to Act 3, then jump back to Act 2. And how can you roll the clock back from age number 2 to age number 1? Or age number 7 to age number 6, where this guy, I think his name is Esty, he's supposed to be such a great prophetical preacher in California, he says we're now just in age 6. I got news for him. He's more confused than anybody ever heard of. I thought Israel's back in the homeland. Doesn't he know that? You couldn't listen to that fella. He doesn't even know there's a conductor. He doesn't know God beating out his own score and his own drama. He doesn't even know. He's just saying yesterday, day, and forever. So you don't have to make a mistake as to what's going on when you see it. Okay? Verse 71. Then one time he said about the third pole, how it would come this one way. That's the sign of the hand. Then by knowing the heart, that's discernment. And then by the spoken word. Now, I want to tell you something. If there is anything as a letdown, as an anticlimax in the minds of men, it is Brother Branham's ministry who went from the sign in the hand, which was confusing, to the sign of discernment, which never failed, and then suddenly come on the scene and say, bless God, I met with a ring of angels. Jesus came down. And I'm bringing you the word, hallelujah. And they say, what did you say? Why, merciful God. If I had been out here to Marineland and seen the dolphins skipping literally over the water in a water net, and I have seen a man straddle 1 foot on each dolphin, go 45 miles around the pool, and that's Act number 2. That little old man comes up for Act number 3. And he says, come on, you dolphins around here. to where I am in this pew. And he opened the book and said, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. You get what I'm talking about? Sheer stupidity. Sheerly unworthy of what happened in Acts 1 and 2. That's why they crucified Jesus. Because they'd seen water into wine, dead bread and fishes into food, the dead raised, and his third act was, I sanctify them by my word. Oh, fooey. Sheesh. That's the kingdom? Word schmurred, we've had enough word already. Just when the circus was going to Act 3, you cut it. What did you do it for? That's what it's all about. Now, can you sit here this morning and not understand it? That the Word is every single thing because that's what it is. And Brother Branham proved by, thus saith the Lord, the creation of squirrels, it was the same Word, the same God that brought it all back there in the beginning. But we tell you, Act 3 was a cop-out to the world. Yeah. They're like this told. My mother tells a story. I understand it's true. Boy came from the old country, leaving his home in Europe. A destitute place. Got to America, began making money. Send him back the good news of his good fortune. He'd become rich. Now he wanted to help his parents. How's he going to help them? He can't get them out of there, and he can't go there, and he can't get money there. But he's a rich boy. Aha, but he can. He can send a picture of himself. And he has the picture done in such a way. And he sends a letter done in such a way. And there's money inside the picture. When the parents saw only the picture and his wealth, they got so mad, they broke the picture and threw it in the fireplace and it burnt. Then they got the letter saying, open the picture, there's $100,000 in it. The third act was the big act. The lifesaver. They turned it down because it was too cheap. A picture! And a picture's worth 10,000 words, according to the Chinese proverb. It was worth $100,000, I guess, in their money. But it burned. The third act, brother, sister, was what nobody wanted. That's why they killed Jesus. That's why they hated Paul. That's why they hate William Branham. And that's why they hate us. And you're not going to change it. 172, Jesus said, greater than this will you do, for I go to my Father. Now, here's where he's throwing a curve right now. Because everybody thinks, well, the great, 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 great works, that is the ultimate. That is the great thing. That will do it. That's just the wrappings on the parcel. That's just the pretty paper and the ribbon on the loaf of bread. So we're starving. And we say, oh, look at the lovely loaf of bread wrapped in the lovely paper and the lovely bread. So we open the loaf of bread, throw it in the garbage can, and start eating the paper. I don't do that. That's as stupid as the guy said, you see the sign that says, to the bus depot. You don't jump on the sign. You go where the bus is and jump on the bus. Yet the same man that said that has repudiated Brother Branham. You know who he is, Pete. You met him, I think. West, East Coast, West Coast. Big fellow there. Vancouver City. I don't know who the person is, but told me that recently he wrote this man and said, you were a business manager, Brother Branham, Can you tell me about him? He wrote the letter back and says, I never met William Branham in my life. I don't know one thing about him. Don't bother me. What do you sooner be known for? The fact that your dollar is good or that your word is good? How many times I've said to people, listen, fella, my check didn't bounce, but your merchandise didn't, so does your word. Yes, sir. So they get to the works that I do, shall you do also greater than this, for I go to my father. Just as I said a while ago, and Mary tried to identify him as Joseph's son, he corrected her. His words cannot fail. He said so. Heaven and earth will fail, but my words won't. Now what is Brother Branham telling you? Before there can be a corrective word which will set the church in order, there must be some kind of a manifestation to prove that he's the one to do it. I wouldn't give you 2 bits for 15 billion Pentecostals trying to do something. You say, veil, you're vitriolic and you're mean and you're vindictive. Well, I kind of like them words, the way you tell me. Because I was one of them. I saw their Holy Ghost in action. But at the same time, when they pull all their dirty tricks on me and I finally quit preaching for that short period of time, and I'm back, so in a minute, one thing held me steady. I knew deep within that something from the Spirit of God would never let me go only so far and no further. To the day I saw Brother Branham, I knew if I listened to any man, I'd listen to him. Baptist, who cares what he was? I've yet to find where Jesus carried a card or what organization he was. He couldn't be recognized as any authority in Israel because he came from the house of Judah. He wasn't a Levite. He was blackballed by his birth. When we hear the symphony beating, changing, fixing to change, it's a junction time. Brother Brown saying, you saw my ministry. Something has got to happen. We notice as he began to beat, And we saw, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater. Shall you do greater? He promised it. We wondered how it could be. But did you notice when he performed his first miracle, he took water and turned into wine? Is that right? He took water, potentially what that might be wine, but had to go through the grapevine first and so on. And when he fed 10,000, 5,000, what did he do? He took something that had been like water, took a fish once, swam, born of an egg, broke it, another fish grew into creation. That was the original creation. He took bread that was once wheat, a seed became bread, broke it, and the creation only multiplied. But in the woods, there was nothing there to make a squirrel. Now here's a man comes on the scene. I'm going to tell you people something. He had greater results in my ministry than he had in his own. He did in me what he couldn't do when he's back there in his own flesh. But you say, now that is blasphemy. We have got Brother Branham just where we wanted him. We knew he was a fraud and a phony because he has exalted himself. Oh, yes, he's exalted himself. I wonder if I got a scripture here for you. I just don't know because my memory's so poor, but I think if I can't find it, some of you can find it. It's over here in some book. It's called the Book of Acts. And it says here, verse 40, Acts 13, beware therefore lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. See, they're liars. Everybody's got a lie. How many really believe that I stood there with my eyes glued and not one blink and I saw that cord? Without unwrapping, right beside his leg. If you can't believe that, you're worse shape than I am. I know it. I was there. I'm a man declaring it. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't believe this. If you don't believe what I told you, there's no way that you can possibly believe Brother Branham's message. Because this message comes on the basis of the purely natural, supernatural presence of Almighty God, where God Himself is conducting His own score, and the prophet has been given
the ability to receive revelation and narrate it to us. And if we're part of the dance, we'll start dancing.
If we're part of the scream, we'll start screaming. Not like that Donnie Reagan who wants everybody to start screaming. That's going to do it. I don't need no nothing sermon. I'm going to tell you what. Even then, he couldn't get him to scream. If you people were screaming, you'd be screaming right then. That's right. Listen. These things are not phony, what I'm telling you. What was it? The same Jesus Christ, see? Greater than this will you do, for I go to my Father. Now, that's the meaning of that scripture. In one place, you'll find Brother Branham categorically said, how could anybody do anything greater as per the magnitude of an act? I'm paraphrasing now because I want you to get what he really said. The impression I got from what he actually said at that time, the works would be more extensive, not an individual act of greater impact, because he said he had more success in my ministry than he did in his own. Now he turns right around and says, it's bigger. After a solitary act. The magnitude. Well, did he or did he not? Can we believe it? Now, if you're part of the symphony, here's where you get your rest. You come where Brother Branham was. Brother Branham categorically says, there was no squirrel there, but the voice that spoke to me made me to know a creation would be manifested. I am telling you, there was a creation. Now, William Branham didn't do the creating. But the man and the message is one. And God forced him to use his own words and say what he wanted, how much of what he wanted, and where he wanted it, and under the conditions he wanted it. Proving that God is not indiscriminate. When Brother Branham tried to chicken out, to weasel out, to put God in the spot, well, Lord, any old squirrel, any old place is fine. God said, hold it, hold it, hold it. It is not that way at all. How many did you say? Where do you want it? When do you want it? Now tell me about it. So therefore, the words of Brother Branham were creative. In the same sense that the words of Jesus Christ were the words of Almighty God and therefore productive. Now, because I can't believe that. Well, you're not in the symphony. How can you believe for God recreating, bringing the bodies out of the ground? How can you and I believe for the millennium? And the New Jerusalem? Now, I know that this is difficult. But we can just keep working until it's not difficult. Not take something that's been created, break something, and multiply creation, absolute, but absolutely create. Showing that he's the same Jehovah that stood back there and said, let there be. And there was. Now he's telling you why it is. His word was made manifest. When he was made fresh on earth, he took original creation, broke and multiplied it. But now in the last days, when he comes down amongst us again, the same light that moved down said, let there be light. See, he just spoke creation and existence. Greater than this will you do, for I go to my Father. And remember, that same one says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And remember, it's also given to whomsoever he will give it. Remember, we're at these times. 177, the world doesn't understand because it's a bunch of nonsense. Because they're, now listen, because they're not Methodists, the Methodists don't understand. Because we're not Baptists, the Baptists don't understand us. Because we're not Catholics, the Catholics can't take us. We're not Pentecostal, they can't get it either. But those who wait upon the Lord. Now, peace comes from strength. If you have peace other than strength, you then are a fast talker, and the guy with the gun may not wait for you to talk. Boom, you're dead. But if you know the thief is coming with the gun, then you get your double barrel shotgun, and when he steps inside the door, you blow him to smithereens. You say, Brother Vail, that would make me a killer. Well, would you sooner be dead, stupid? Is that what you think of your wife and kids? Oh, you got the different kind of religion from what I got. I can tell you right now, different Brother Branham's. When a couple of boys said they were going to take his daughter and call his daughter, he just sat up all night with a shotgun in the chair, that's all. Whatever gun he had. Maybe you're too nice for this crowd here. I'm not trying to make murders. I'm just telling you, what are you looking at? You can murder your own soul right today. Kill your family. Get them under the token. Then, those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Peace comes from strength. There is no strength outside this word. This is the meat. Those who are looking. Not one man. We have no history of one man or any observatory knowing that the star passed over. Three stars, they say, blend to one. But the wise men followed it for hundreds of miles for 2 years. They watched it and followed it. See what I mean? Is to those who are listening to the symphony. Who listens to the symphony? The elect lady. She alone has ears. And remember, the Bible said, be careful how you hear. Not what you hear. I can read this Bible to you and read it 100% according to God's original intent as He put it in words and miss the understanding a million miles. It wasn't what I heard, it was how I heard. Remember, the composer knows the end from the beginning. Ah, that's a good one right there. Capstone and cornerstone. The one who started by the pillar of fire, the great church of the Gentiles, caps it by the same pillar of fire. He knows all about it. That's the reason he could write it here correctly. Now we must begin with him. You must begin. Do what I do, he says. Begin. That's where it all starts. In other words, you must attribute what Brother Branham is saying, this great symphony, this great word message, right to him. Say, he's present. He's the one that descended from heaven. He's the one from heaven listening to Hebrews 12. He's the one who's doing it. Start with him. Who is it? See? If you want to hear a symphony, you begin with him like in the music at the symphony. You listen. You know what it says. It's going to be what the symphony says. Then you begin to listen to the music. And you know what it is, so you just know about. Here's where certain things take place. Now, Brother Branham doesn't express himself too well here, but you can get the understanding. Now it's got to change. Well, you read the Bible. Look at what's in the Bible, anybody can know it. Israel will be Jerusalem trodden down till the end of the times of the Gentiles. They go back in troublous times, exactly as the Bible says. Now, through conquest and war, the Arabs are out of Jerusalem. They own it. They're back. They're a nation. They got money, a navy. What if we are supplying them? They're there. Now, the Bible says, hey, listen, time's running out. Now, you know, what could possibly be at the end time? Then you start looking in your Bibles. Well, Elijah must trigger. Oh, no, Elijah's to the Jews. Hold it, hold it, hold it. How could it be? How could it be? You got to get out of here before it burns. Before the tribulation. Or they're divided over that. They don't know where they're coming or going at the end time. But there's certain clues in there. Then if you are in a state of flux and of argument and indecision, you don't know what to do. What do? You call on the highest authority there is to get your help. That's God. And what do? Like I said, Brother Moore, herald of his coming, cried, oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. The prophet came and ate in their home. The prophet left them. Oh, God, send a prophet. Spiritually speaking, these people wouldn't know if they had a baloney growing on their nose, if a baloney was growing. As the old scholar said, you wouldn't know God if you made him in your porridge. They know they need something, but they don't realize that when God sends that something, God does it in his own way. And it's in the Bible here somewhere. And the prophet told us. And I've told you how it's done. And I tell you again and again when he said, the shout is the message. I said, Brother Branham,
heard a lot of strange things, but I can't take that. Suddenly, what was in me said, when was he ever wrong? I said, shouts Bessie. You understand why then I've taken the forefront in the presence? These things that I've done, traced it through and showed you church order in these things. When other men fooled about a little gift of spirit and all, we stand right here with church order, knowing what it is from Capstone on down. Knowing the major thing that happens when truth comes. If you are not seen, the first thing you will do is tell a lie.
How many preachers are liars? How many people like to tell lies? First thing you will do is tell that. Why? Because when the truth was there to Adam and Eve, the perfect bride and groom in flesh waiting to go right to the great tree of life and be immortalized, they took a lie and told a lie. Tried to put the blame on somebody else. Wouldn't work. Now, top of page 30 up here. Something's going on. Now, to anybody else that doesn't know anything about what's taking place, they just call it junk and this and that. What about the seventh seal? Craziness. What about that picture? Just craziness. They can't make out the rhythm. They can't make out the drama. Now watch, 180. Man could close his mortal eyes to earthly sight and live in the presence of Jesus Christ when you see his word being beat out in the great symphony that we're living in right now. In other words, Brother Branham brought us to the place where we can close our eyes to every single thing in order that we might concentrate on the symphony. When people want to hear the best notes, they want to get close, what do? You can just see them close their eyes and try to relax and yet bring all the sensitivity into the hearing that they might savor what it is all about. That's what you do. You must begin in the symphony. The only thing you can do if you're in the symphony, then you start, you begin to get in the rhythm, the spirit of it, see? That's the way you do God. That's the way you do God. We get in the spirit of God. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do you mean to get it? Piling word upon word. What word? This word. There's no life in any other word. So you pile this word upon word. You know, we ought to be coming to church every single day in the week. You can't quit your jobs, though. That's the way you do God. You don't stand off and look at it. You get to the rhythm of it. How do you get in there? You're born in it, into the rhythm of the word, when you become a part of that word. Well, the point is this. If you're not seed, you'll never catch it. If you don't like music, you're never going to want it. If you got two left feet, you'll never dance. Oh, you can try, but you'll stumble around. Like Jack Bell said, I thought I was dancing and somebody stepped on my hands. That's the way it is. It's about all you do. It's the way a Christian, if you're out seed, it's not going to do a thing for you. You're just completely washed up anyway, see? You're out of it. So, all right. If you feel your seed, you believe your seed, you'll start looking at that and begin watching what comes from the prophet and take it word upon word and just believe it. And remember, passive faith is not something you act upon except mentally. Physically, forget it. Because even in the greater works, forget it. It's the word that counts. It was all there to bring you the word and know it is the word. You had to become a part of the dance to get into the dance. You had to become a part of the ball game. Some of you said to get in the ball game. Now, Brother Branham brings the same thing out in the church ages when he said John was in the spirit. What spirit did he get into? The spirit of Christ for the age to come. And we're in that juncture now. We're right between death and immortality. And those that don't become immortal will die. That's the last one standing here. 182. You have to become part of the word. Now, Brother Branham is using this from himself on down. He's telling you what he does, and we do it too.
He had become part of the Word. You know God's symphony. His symphony is when it's playing, you understand, you're marching with the beat of the time. You're watching for the works that I do shall do also. Great this shall do because I go to my Father. He tells that again. Oh my, the great changing of time. We get into the beat of the Word. Find His purpose, the hour we're living in. Get in the rhythm of it. How does He do it? If you get in the Word, you know, you find out how He did it at the beginning, then you know how He's been doing all the time. Now, the prophet that never lied had thus said the Lord, with all the manifestation, came and said, God is even creating. The greater works are here. Now, listen. When the greater works are here, what more can you look for? Nothing. But you have to know that. You have to know that that is Matthew 4 and Matthew 12. You got to understand in Matthew 12, in the flesh, he went to the street. He raised his voice. He fought with people. In this day, entrusting his name, unobserved, just with the prophet. Now listen, 183, how did he send his message first? What does he do? He doesn't deal with organization. Now that flat right there. It's not flat to us because he explains the basis of not organization. It's a power ministry. Not a bunch of powerful men that get together and say, well, I believe it's so. Like the cardinal, the college of cardinals have brought the Pope in. Oh, I want to see his face when the cards are finally down. I want to see all their faces. You think for 1 minute the Catholic organization doesn't have a great spy system throughout the world that they don't know? Do you think that right now today the IRS, the FBI, and the files in Washington don't have a perfect dossier concerning every single one of us, our medical records, every single thing, and can be brought out to light in 20 seconds, according to the man who told me that years ago, because he worked with them? Come on. And I love it because when all the cards are played and all the dossiers are in and all the accumulated data is brought right up to the white throne, there's nobody going to have one word of excuse. You get that morning, brother, sister? I don't have one word of excuse, and from all this side and all this middle and all you, there's not one got one word of excuse. Not anymore. No, he never dealt with organization. He built on his own ministry. He doesn't do it now. That's where, if you're listening to the rhythm of the council churches, you're in darkness. To the rhythm of the world, you're in darkness. Why did they kill Jesus? You being a man, make yourself God. That's it. You being a man, William Branham, you had a great ministry, so you got so dag-nag puffed up. You got too big for your britches. You thought now you had to stand up like all the rest and show you had something. So you made a complete ass of yourself and those idiots that follow you. Well, I'm the idiot that knows that you can take cellular therapy and stand right here better for it, while those idiots think you're going to die because you take it. I would sooner believe the idiot who follows Brother Branham or tries to than the Pentecostal idiots. But this is some two-bit doctor. Like a little two-bit Methodist preacher did over when I was in Covington, Ohio. And I told him what a D.O. could do, that a doctor of osteopathy was the same as an M.D. plus. And he went to a little two-bit Jewish doctor who's an M.D. and he hated the D.O.s. Boy, he ain't no better than chiropractic. They don't know what we know. They already was school educated. He came back and said, you know, brother, you really shook me. He said, in telling me that thing about those D.O.s, and my doctor told me different. That doctor knows there are two hospitals down here in Dayton that are run by D.O.s. He knows all about them, but he lied, and so do your pimp preachers that are thoroughly illegitimate to the Word of God. They can't stand truth. So make alive everything to please themselves. Showing their serpent seed. What am I supposed to do? Well, you'd show me that Moses went down and prayed for Pharaoh. I'll start praying for those men that blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I haven't got time, Brother Branham said, I don't pray for America. He said, it's all saned out.
Am I supposed to be greater than God? Don't ask me to be great anything. I don't hate those men. I don't hate them. I'm just telling you, warning you. Don't you be trapped, brother, sister. Come on out. Get away from that stuff. Now, you're not told to live a special consecrated life, though you will if you believe. You're told to believe. Believe and thou shalt see the glory of God. Because he already showed his glory to cause us to believe. Now we're waiting for the greater glory, which is immortality and transportation. Come on, let's get out of here. Let's rise. Rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I believe I could take another 2.5 hours. They'd sit here, but Lord, I'm not going to do it. Because I can see 2.5 hours won't do it. 4 hours won't do it, Lord. 6 hours. God, we could go out of here in a rapture before we get finished because something's burning your word, Lord. There's a life in there, oh God, they want to take over and get rid of everything that's in man. Not an enthusiasm, Lord, getting by reading a word, but a life, oh God, coming out of a word. Right now, we're battling ourselves and everything else, Lord God. You understand our being only too well to know where there's emotions, good, bad, and everything mixed into us, Lord. But the prophet said, you can get where I am. You can have what I've got, not being prophets, but have this very thing, because he brought us peace, not for himself, but for a bride, the elect lady, based on this. Then, Lord, I can have exactly what he said. Is my portion, and out of it then will come that sweet serenity and rest. Lord, even as he died, he went out of here biting organization and hitting. I don't know if I want, I don't care if to do. I don't care what you want me to do, Lord, long as I know you want me to do it. Just keep on doing what you want me to do. But I know, Lord, there's that greater peace from the greater Son of Peace in our midst today. Something living God, if I was back in Pentecost, I'd start screaming unearthly screams and speaking in tongues. That's not going to do it. Didn't do it then. I won't do it now. What it's going to do, Lord, is believing this unearthly word. Receiving in earthen vessels an unearthly word. To bring forth a creature of the dust into immortality. God, our Father, I pray in Jesus' name what I long for, Lord, what I missed way back there, give to me today, O God. That the people may know not that I would have anything above them. I don't want that, but God, do you know to satisfy my heart? Perhaps erroneously, Lord, I'm trying to satisfy your heart when it's already satisfied. I'm trying to do something that doesn't belong to me or have. But Lord, I know the prophet spoke of this peace, shalom. He didn't bring it for nothing. He didn't stand up there and give him a little spiel, Lord, a little platform. No, he was bringing us reality. God, I want that, and I believe the people here do today, too, and I don't want to exclude anybody. For in my folly, I could be as foolish as Samuel, looked on Eliab and said, that's got to be your servant. You rebuked and said, you're looking on the outside. How long are you going to be stupid and foolish? Look on the inside. There came David. The one nobody would have picked, but you picked him, the greatest king Israel ever had, because you picked him. Father, we're not looking for great things of ourselves. We're looking, Lord, for reality today in our hearts and minds. Help us, O God. May this have been an hour of decision, Lord, as never before. A plateau, O God, as never before. Decisions as never before. All made by the compelling power of the Holy Ghost, who can override, circumvent, all of man, and then bring forth to his own glory a treasure in earthen vessels. Be with those that couldn't be here, Lord, for some particular reason. Be with the sick amongst us. Father, I'm still believing that the sweet Spirit of Christ must come into the church where there won't be one sick. The prophet didn't say that just to be saying something. If he did, then he's not the prophet that you sent. No, but he is the prophet you sent. And he let us know there doesn't need to be one sick amongst us. Sweet Spirit of Jesus Christ coming in. God, we're looking for that now. Lord, there's been the thumping of the drums, there's been the roar of the cannon. Father, may be there soon to be the sweet harp of David that stilled the devils in Saul. That stills the tempest within our souls, whatever lies there, the sweet harp of God, the Psalms. Coming in now, Lord, the water in the desert land. The rock in the storms of life. Rivers of water in Israel, all these things, Lord, we're looking for at this time. Hear our prayer, Lord God, because this is what we truly want. Let it come out of this word, Lord, as never before.
Something's got to come out of every message, Lord. This is the greatest thing I could ever hope come upon us. Shalom. God's peace. We give our lives to you, Lord. Here we are, here we stand. You will do what you want with us, Lord. May we realize that. And may we be glad to know it. Because all will be well. That's what you said. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Wednesday night, 7:30.